Well, I want to introduce to you tonight an amazing friend of mine and someone who just two years ago, wow, our two college years, school years, came to me and when I was in a big crunch for someone to help fill the gap and fill the bill for a college director, Brian and Shauna White, kind of stepped up to the plate and was just an answer to prayer, a huge, huge answer to prayer. And Brian, you know, many of you, he is essentially, he volunteers his time because he teaches at Evangel. He's an RD on one of the dorms for Evangel, and he gives Central a lot of time as well. So I just have a deep respect for this man. He's a great preacher and a great student of God's Word. He just graduated this past year with his MDiv from AGTS, so he's the man, and I really, really enjoy his friendship. So let's welcome to the stage. He's continuing our series of Life's Tough Questions on forgiveness tonight. So let's welcome Brian.
What a servant. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Hey, welcome to New Community. I don't know if you've heard that. We're glad you're here. What a privilege. Thanks for letting me do this and talk to you guys tonight. Life's tough questions, by definition, are tough. And so I don't know if we're going to get to any answers tonight. Let me just start by saying that. I don't know that we're going to answer anything tonight, but we're going to at least take some time and look at forgiveness. And forgiveness runs, there's a pretty wide spectrum there for forgiveness. I mean, that's everything from, you know, the guy behind me in line back there who really wanted one of those chocolate donuts, and I took them all. And, you know, he needs to forgive me. And, the guy that when you're in a hurry, you know, the guy that knows that you're in a hurry, and so he gets out in front of you and drives slow. That guy, he needs forgiveness. And so there's those things, you know. Those everyday forgiveness things, you know. And then there's like the heavy, like, wow, we live in an evil world because bad things are happening. Forgiveness, and you know, and those are the tough ones, you know. And tonight, I just want to start by confessing to you a little bit that we don't want to make light of anything that's happened in your life. I'm aware of the fact that really awful things happen, and people get deeply hurt. And I don't want you to think at the end of this that we just say, well, just forgive them and everything will be okay. Because that's just not true. And I want you to know that we understand that. And that's what makes this so hard. Is that sometimes forgiving people really means a lot. Because people have really done evil and horrible things. So tonight we're going to look at the idea of forgiveness and what it means. And again, I don't know that we have any answers, but hopefully at the end we'll come to an understanding. And I took notes feverishly a few weeks ago because Pastor Jim did a sermon on forgiveness. And I thought, this is great. And so that was cool. And he said some really cool things. And the focus of what he was talking about was not quite what we're going to focus on tonight. But there are a couple of things that are important and are bear repeating just to give us some context. And I would encourage you, if forgiveness is something that God is dealing with you in your life, I'd encourage you to get on the webpage and download that message because some fantastic stuff in there. But let me just, thanks to Pastor Jim, let me just kind of hit on a couple things that'll give us a starting point. Forgiveness is not justice. Okay? Don't wait until someone has been hurt just as bad as they hurt you and then say, well, now we're even, so you're forgiven. That's not what forgiveness is about. It's not about saying, once we can even the playing field, even the score, then all bets are off and we're even now, so now you're forgiven. That's not what forgiveness is about. Forgiveness is not about denial. It's not about saying, well, we'll just forget it happened and we'll just pretend that you never did that to me, or we'll pretend that that never happened. That's not forgiveness. That's fantasy and sometimes sickness. I mean, they have medicine for that, and that will help you talk to someone. Okay, forgiveness is not just pretending it didn't happen. Forgiveness is not trust. Okay, please don't be foolish You know, if someone borrowed some money from you and never paid it back, don't say, I forgive you, so I'll co-sign on this loan for you now. Okay, that's not what forgiveness is about. It's not about going, well, I guess I have to just treat you like it never happened. Because sometimes it's wise to treat them like they did happen, because if you don't, it'll happen again. Okay, so forgiveness is not trusting, and forgiveness is not avoidance. It's not, I don't like you, so if I never see you again, we'll never have any problems, so I guess you're forgiven, because we'll just never... That's not forgiveness either, because while sometimes it's wise to sever relationships that are damaging and unhealthy, sometimes it's just not possible. You know, if you never see your boss again, you just won't have a job. So that's not forgiveness, okay? So forgiveness is not some of those things, and sometimes we get those combined. We think, if I really forgive them, I have to forget what they did. Well, no, you just have to really forgive them. So that's where we start with what forgiveness is not. So let's look at what forgiveness is. Do we all have to leave the building now or something? There's some sort of alarm thing happening over there. It's frightening me. Where I live, when the fire alarm goes off, everyone has to leave. Like, and that's my job, to make sure everyone leaves. If someone dies in a fire, I lose my job. So I'm sorry, I'm a bit hyper about that. All right, back on task. So forgiveness is this. Let me tell you, forgiveness is the best option. Forgiveness is the best option that you have. Like I said, this is a difficult question, and my dad is like my hero in life. I never got out of the stage where I thought my dad could do everything, and he's pastor of the same church for 20 years now. So I called him up. I said, Dad, what do you know about forgiveness? And he said this. He said, God, in infinite wisdom and unlimited power, chose forgiveness as the way to deal with sin. Think about it. God had unlimited power. He could have done anything. He could have said, when people sin against me, we'll make a way for them to go back in time and do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until they get it right. Or he could have made you have incredible pain equal to the amount of pain you caused him. I mean, God could have done anything. God could have demanded that you provide justice. He could have done anything. He's God. And in God's infinite wisdom, when he looked at pain, when he looked at sin, when he looked at suffering, he decided the best option would be simply to forgive. And I suggest to you today that when you deal with pain and suffering and evil in your life, the best option is the same option that God chose. That is simply to forgive. One of the greatest gifts that God has given us, I believe, is the capacity to forgive other people. One of the greatest gifts that God has given us is the capacity to honestly look at what's going on in our life, what pain people have gone, and make the choice to forgive. So we go back again to Pastor Jim. And we look at what he reminded us of. I promise you, it won't all be Pastor Jim today, okay? But we remind that when we forgive, we give up the burden of getting even. It's not our job to demand justice. Because when you demand justice, you're the only one who walks away with that burden. You're the one who looks for it to be made right. And you carry that until it's gone. And when we forgive, we give up that demand for justice. When we forgive, we can stop rehearsing the wrong. We can stop going back and over reliving it and remembering what they did to us. We can choose to begin to seek God's eyes for the people. How does God see that person? How should I try to see them? And we can stop being the victim. And I believe that we need to start with this context and understanding that when we deal with sin and evil and hurt in our lives, the best option that we have is to simply forgive. So what do we forgive? How do we forgive? What's the deal? Well, we need to remember that secondly, for Christians, not only is forgiveness the best option, but for Christians, forgiveness is the only option. Scriptures are very clear that forgiveness is required for God's children. Matthew chapter 6, we read the Lord's Prayer. And I know most of us are familiar with it. There's a passage in there that goes something like, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we have forgiven those who trespass against us. And Jesus goes on at the end and he says this in verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 6. He says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. Later in Matthew, Jesus tells the story of the unmerciful servant in chapter 18 of Matthew. And you remember this story about the servant who owed the master, the rich man, goes through his accounts. And he finds that one of his servants owes him literally millions of dollars. And he calls the servant in and he says, "Hey, I don't know if you realize this, but you owe me millions of dollars. I'd like that back now." And the servant goes, "I can't. I don't have any way to pay you back your money. Please, but give me some time." And he begs for mercy. And the master does a very odd thing, and he says, "Don't worry about it." He writes it off. I don't know if he got a tax credit for it or what, but he just writes it off. He says, "Forget it. The debt is gone. You don't owe me the money anymore." The servant goes away thrilled. And on the way out, he sees some guy who borrowed lunch money from him the other day. A meager amount. We don't really know exactly how much, but a meager amount. And he goes over and says, "Hey, you owe me that money. Give it to me now." The guy says, "I can't." He says, "Forget it. Put him in prison until he can pay me back." He treats the guy terribly. Word gets back to the master that the servant who he's forgiven this huge debt has not repaid the kindness. So the master calls him back in and says, "Remember how I said you owed me millions and then you didn't? Well, now you do again because you're a jerk, so go to prison." And he takes everything he has and he sends him off. And here's the servant. And Jesus says, this is the way it is with you. God will forgive you completely, wholly, the debt that you owe him that you could never repay. But the responsibility that you have is then to go back and forgive others. Forgive other people's. But I want to suggest to you something. That not only does God require our forgiveness because it's the right thing to do. It shows that we have the same spirit as him. But God requires our forgiveness of others because without forgiving other people, we have no capacity to receive God's forgiveness. If you can't forgive others, you can't receive God's forgiveness. Have you ever known someone who was really justice driven? I mean, everything had to be fair and square. You know, I mean, if you wrong me, then I'm going to invest enough time and energy to figure out exactly what you need to do to make it right. And, you know, I mean, those people that are just, they've got it down, man. Everything's got to be just. How do they approach God? I mean, if everything's got to be just, how do you approach God that way? Do you accept God's forgiveness? Because if I accept God's forgiveness, I really have to say, okay, everything doesn't have to be just because I can come to God and accept his forgiveness. And that attitude won't allow me to approach God, because to approach God for someone who demands justice, they have to approach God on the basis of justice. And only one person has ever approached God on the basis of justice. And that was when Jesus Christ gave his life as a ransom for my sin and for your sin. You see, if we have an attitude that says, "God, we won't forgive others," that same attitude says, "God, we can't accept your forgiveness." See, our being able to forgive others is contingent on allowing God's grace to invade and transform our lives. But allowing God's grace to invade and transform our lives is contingent on our allowing ourselves to forgive others. Luke 6, 37 and 38 says this. Jesus says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And there's this fantastic principle in Scripture about the measure that you use will be the same measure that God returns back to you. And I believe that's so true in our attitude about forgiveness. That if you have no measure for forgiveness in your life, that you then have no capacity to receive God's forgiveness. Not because God withholds it because he's mean and he says, "No, you didn't forgive people, so forget you." But because if you can't allow yourself to forgive, then you can't allow yourself to be forgiven either. And so I believe today that forgiveness is important because God requires us to forgive. A lack of forgiveness blocks us from God's presence. Forgiveness is the means that God used to restore himself to us. The road, the conduit, the path that leads from us to God is a path paved in forgiveness. And if we can't forgive, then we bar ourselves from walking down that path. Forgiveness is our means to get to God. So forgiveness is the best option. For Christians, forgiveness is the only option. But here's where it gets sticky, because sometimes that's enough. You know, the guy behind me in line who wanted the donut, that's enough. You know, you need to forgive me for taking, I didn't really take the last donut. There's that. But you know, the guy who drives in front of you and is slow and maybe doesn't turn on a signal, really, I think that's enough. You know what? You need to get over it. That's harsh, but I think that's true. I think that's, you know, too bad. I'm sorry, but forgive him. It's okay. You're all right. But sometimes that's not enough, you know? I mean, sometimes there's real evil in the world, and guys driving slow in front of you is not real evil. You know, sometimes there's stuff that's just not enough. Sometimes we can't forgive on our own. And that's where we need to realize that forgiveness comes from God. A couple nights ago, I had a conversation with a student who's a friend of mine, and he sat down and was just talking to me about things back home. And a really just terrible thing happened. His youth pastor had been there for a long time. He's in college now, and his youth pastor had been there for six or eight years, and it was his youth pastor. He grew up with him, you know, a guy who spoke into his life and made a difference. And, you know, that's cool for guys like me. But they just found out that this youth pastor's wife has filed for divorce, and, you know, there's some moral failure there, and it's ugly and it's bad. He's hurt. The people in his church are hurt. They can't believe this happened, and they don't understand. And so we talked about a lot of issues. The issue of forgiveness came up. And I think I had a revelation. I didn't realize it at the time, but I think it was. We talked about, can you forgive him? And I asked him, I said, do you think God can forgive him? You think God can forgive him for what he's done? He said, well, yeah. But I think that's an important question that we have to ask ourselves when we deal with hurt and pain and suffering. Can God forgive that person? And if the answer is no, we're in a lot of trouble. I mean, if the answer to that question is no, they've done something so bad that even God can't forgive them, then we're in a lot of trouble, because then we start to draw lines about what God can forgive and what God can't forgive. And I don't know what you base that line on, but that's scary, man, because I've never done anything really bad, but if there are lines being drawn that we don't know about where God says, nope, that's too bad, I don't know. Do you know? I mean, this whole thing about, you know, God forgiving sins, we got to, if God can't forgive the person who wronged you, then that puts us in a really, really scary place. I mean, who can be forgiven and who can't be forgiven? And why did God lie and say that he'd forgive everyone when he really doesn't? And I mean, if God can't forgive the person who wronged you, then this whole thing that we talk about, this whole faith thing, really starts to fall apart. But if God can forgive them, then there's hope. And there's good news. Because the same God who can forgive them lives inside of you. His Spirit has taken up residence in yours. And he works to transform you and change you, recreate you in the image of him. And if God can forgive them, then God can help you to forgive them. And God can make a difference in your life. You see, the very Spirit of God dwells in us and is in the process of transforming us and changing us and making us into the image of his Son. And I want to close with this story. There's a woman by the name of Corrie Ten Boom, and I don't know if you're familiar with her, but during the Second World War, she and her sister were in Holland, and they hid Jewish people from the Germans, and they were captured doing that. So they were taken to a concentration camp. And in that concentration camp, Corrie's sister was killed. She lost her life in that. But right before the order was given to execute all the women, that concentration camp was liberated, and she survived. And afterwards, she went and traveled through Europe and talked about forgiveness and talked about her experience. And she tells a story in this book about one service that she was in Germany. She was talking about forgiveness. And at the service ended, she noticed a man coming towards her, and she recognized him immediately as one of the prison guards in the camp that she was at. As he approached her, he stuck out his hand. He said, "Isn't it wonderful that God can forgive us? And I found Jesus, and he's forgiven me. And now you're my sister. He said, but I want to hear it from you. Can you forgive me? So she stood there and she talks about the battle that she had. So I want you to picture her standing there in that basement of that church with the prison guard with his hand reached out, and she says this. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, and sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hand, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. But even so, I realized it was not my love. I had tried and did not have the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Romans 5:5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. I don't want you to think tonight that the answer is you just need to forgive and get over it. Because the reality is sometimes you can't forgive. The reality is that I don't know, but the reality is that evil, horrid, horrendous things happen in life because we're broken and we live in a broken world. But the reality is also that God loves and God forgives and God helps and God restores and God is with us. Sometimes we can't forgive, but God can. And I can't promise you tonight that if you make some gesture of forgiveness that God's love will flood your heart and you'll feel this great love for people that have hurt you and harmed you. I can't promise you that. But I can tell you that God's word says that he comes and he helps. And that he's willing to make a difference in your life. So this is what I want to do as we close. I want to remind you of three things. Forgiveness is the best option that we have for dealing with hurt and pain. For followers of Jesus, forgiveness is the only option that you have. Jesus made that clear. But remember that when you can't forgive, God can. And he will forgive in and through and around and despite you. So tonight as we close, I want to do this. I want to just take 60 seconds. And I want you to just get alone with God as best you can in this room. And maybe tonight, God has said, you know, there's a relationship you need to fix. Maybe he hasn't. But tonight I want to just have us give God an opportunity to speak to us. So we're going to take 60 seconds and just be silent and ask God to speak to us. And then we'll pray. And then we'll be done. Because forgiveness doesn't happen here. It happens out there. Father, would you come and speak to us tonight? God, would you send your Holy Spirit to show us truth, to guide our lives? God, would you show us where we need to forgive others? Would you show us where we need to be forgiven by you? Would you show us how we can live relationships that are pleasing to you? God, would you come in the next 60 seconds and just speak to us? Because we commit to listen, and we commit to obey what you tell us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, even as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. College students, don't forget we have our first monthly worship night tomorrow night at 9 p.m. in the Fusion Center. We're very excited about that. Thanks for coming to New Community. Next week we'll finish up our series on life's tough questions.